song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program today. We are going to be jam-packed. We keep adding to what's going on today. I don't even know what's going to be going on today for sure, except a late addition that we're going to talk with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook here in just about 3 minutes on the program. We'll talk with Coach Cook. Also scheduled on the show today, our high school football preview continues with Jason Hale over at Holdridge. We'll be talking with Coach Hale about the Dusters. Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com is going to join us as well. And if we have time, I think we will, to hear from Ryer Greer, one of the top tight ends in the league from Colorado. And we'll talk with him as our Big 12 preview continues. Is that okay?
Well, that's why you listen to the Doug and Daddy Show, because you don't know what's going to happen. We didn't know this was going to happen until about a minute and a half ago. Then boom, went the dynamite.
No, had it under control a week and a half ago. You just don't pay attention.
Yeah, Seamus did.
It's like an off day for the Huskers, and so Coach Cook able to squeeze us in. We'll talk volleyball here in just a couple of moments. But the big story right now is football, Daddy. A lot of stories coming out yesterday. Alex Henry's on the Grozo Award, one of the top 30 kickers, place kickers in the country. But Cody Spano is out for the Huskers. He tears an ACL. And I mean, what are you supposed to expect right here? What are you supposed to expect? Because Nebraska was thin at quarterback anyway, and now no backup at all.
Well, and you go back to Monday's show, what did I say? Tune in 2 weeks from now, 2.5 weeks from now, unless it's injury news. And this is the big news. Ron Kellogg replaces him. Okay, so you got another freshman into the mix, along with Taylor Martinez, along with a defensive guy that they moved over. They tell a story.
LaTravis Washington.
they tell a story about LaTravis Washington, in which you just start at, say, the 5 yard line, and there's targets on things, and it might be on, they just get a target set up, and you hit the whatever one the coach points at, and LaTravis Washington one time goes back, all of a sudden fires the ball, and it's so high and through the uprights. It's like breaking benches back there. The kid's got an arm, but he has no idea where the ball's going. So you got that going for you. I guess it's Cody Green. You didn't want to play this kid as a true freshman. You were hoping to have time to redshirt him. But you got to have a backup ready to go. And if that's the second series of the season, when somebody gets hit and is slow to get up, I guess that's the way you'd lean right now. It's Cody Green.
Well, so that's the big news right now with Nebraska football is Spano's down. And another thing, by the way, SI.com came out with their preseason rankings. They have Nebraska 34th, 22nd in the coaches poll, and everybody else seems to have Nebraska the top 25. But the SI.com came out yesterday and has Nebraska 34th, behind Missouri, by the way, in their overall rankings for 2009.
Sports Illustrated ever been more than a jinx for anybody, though? I mean, really, have they ever did something you went, oh, that's really intelligent, that's really smart reporting?
Maybe they could throw the Penn State volleyball program on the front cover, sometime soon and get them out of the way. Nebraska just about got them out of the way on their magical run to a national title last year. And I'll tell you what, in listening to the press conference yesterday and some of the clips already in practice this week, I think he's as fired up maybe as he's been in his 11 years at Nebraska, and we are pleased to be joined on the Doug and Daddy Show this morning by the head coach of the Nebraska volleyball team, ranked as high as 3 by Volleyball Magazine right now. John Cook joins us. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Are you as fired up as you've been?
Oh, yeah, it's a fun group. It's, they're young and enthusiastic, so it's hard not to get caught up in their enthusiasm. It's a very inspiring group, so this week has been a blast.
Coach, I guess, is it one of those deals where with this much talent, do you maybe try and stay out of the way?
Well, I don't know about that, but I tell you what, it's sure is fun to watch them compete. And, you know, the last year we really didn't have a freshman class that could come in and compete right away. And we were, you know, had a mixed mash of people over there on the other side to go against. And this year it's, you know, it's 6-on-6. And, you know, we got after it yesterday for about an hour and let them go at it, you know, helmet to helmet, and it was awesome.
We're talking with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook here on the Doug and Daddy Show as they're in their first week of practice. You almost spun a little philosophical yesterday in some of the things you were talking about, but how can a team that didn't test so well last year do what they did and then become so good? That was a big point you had about how athletic this team was in some of their testing.
Well, last year's team had a lot of it was a special team because they played so well together, and you know, we were still athletic, but this team is more athletic, and I think that was a point I was trying to make with our performance index test. We had eight players go in the 2,000 point club. Last year we had zero. So some of our players from last year made dramatic improvements physically, and then some of our incoming freshmen have are exceptional athletes as well. So does that mean we can be a great team? No. Or guarantee us to be a great team? No. We still have to learn how to play together and play as one. And then also they got to be good volleyball players, and that's something, you know, we can work on in practice. And so we're gonna, you know, it's gonna be a wild ride. It's gonna be like going on the big roller coaster. There's gonna be some great ups and probably some wild downs, and but it's gonna be a fun ride and watching these kids develop over the course of a season, because I think we have a chance to really, really improve through the season, and I think that's going to be exciting to watch.
Everybody wants to know who will replace Jordan Larson. Is there one special one that fills her shoes?
Yeah, it's called we got 16 players that are going to try to replace her. I mean, somebody asked that question yesterday, and my answer was, you don't replace Jordan Larson with one player, and that would be unfair to any player, and it's going to be a freshman in her spot. So the question is, our team has to do it, and the kids that are on the court, they have to. I mean, Jordan was our go-to player. We knew she was going to get the ball when it mattered, and she was going to make the big plays. And now everybody's got to step into that role. So that's how we're approaching that. We're not comparing, you know, to say, hey, we need to be Jordan Larson. It's the team has got to make up for that. And the good thing is, we're talented enough at each position, and we're experienced enough at each position that any one of those kids can be a go-to player on this year's team. And so that's what will be kind of the theme for how you replace Jordan Larson. Because I, you know, the first day of practice, I realized there's no Jordan out here. But then also, you know, Jordan is maybe once-in-a-decade type player.
Yeah, but there is a Gina Mancuso, the Gatorade Player of the Year, that's going to be joining your very talented freshman program. Talk a little bit about her and what you've seen already.
Well, Gina has come in and has got after it right away, and she reminds me a lot of Jordan in that she is a complete player. She does all the skills really well. And I keep saying this, it's so hard to find in recruiting those players that are those all-around players that, you know, are exceptional at all the skills. Gina, you know, is going to compete for a starting position, also, she's got to get stronger, and she needs to be in Husker power a little bit because, you know, one of the things that's great about Nebraska is Gina Mancuso, for example, is able to do multiple sports. So she played volleyball, basketball, and track, and then does club volleyball. Well, the problem is she never really gets to get in the weight room and train and get stronger. We would rather have those guys play multiple sports, but that's where our Husker power is so important. Once they get to college, they get to focus on, you know, building their bodies up and getting stronger. So we got to get a little muscle on her, but she's going to be a great player here at Nebraska.
Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, in a perfect, perfect world, no injuries, everything goes smooth, how many players would you like to see redshirted?
Well, we would like to redshirt Haley Tramer for sure. Again, you know, it all you guys know it all depends on how injuries and things like that go. But Haley is somebody we targeted a redshirt. However, she came in and had a great practice yesterday, and we were kind of scratching our heads, do we really want to redshirt her? But I just think her experience level isn't quite up to where it needs to be, and it's, you know, it's hard to get that done in 2 weeks before we start playing, you know, in the showcase. So she'd be somebody that we would like to. Other than that, I think everybody else is going to be playing and competing for, you know, playing time. And I would love to redshirt all the freshmen, but, you know, we're going to be starting one or two freshmen probably.
And, of course, for fans that don't realize, only one senior listed on the entire roster in Corey Cooper, and she's just glad to be back on the court.
Yes, she is, and she had a really good practice yesterday, and we can see her confidence building every day. So, you know, she's somebody that I think will be the team is really pulling for. I think the Husker Nation will be pulling for her because she's had a great career here, and, you know, she's had some tough breaks, and last year was, you know, just as about as tough as it can be. So she's going to be kind of that emotional player that people are going to follow and want to do well, and so I think she's going to have a lot of mojo on her side from our fans and our team, and she's our captain, one of our captains, and she's worked really hard to get back to have a great senior season.
Coach, everyone wants to know, one setter, two setters, three setter system?
That's a good question. I want to know that too. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. The good thing is we have options, and it's fun to explore, and there's trade-offs. You know, sometimes we'll have to do volleyball 101, and there's trade-offs to a one-setter system and trade-offs, you know, to running a two-setter system. But we have the people to look at it, and that's what we have to decide. And, you know, I guess that's what they pay me to do. So as soon as I figure it all out, I'll let you guys know.
Well, Coach, I believe you said after the spring that Brooke Delano was your best player in the spring. Coming off that injury, she's maybe the one name I haven't heard a lot about in the press conference so far this year.
Brooke's off to a great start, and I mean she is a completely different player than what she was last year. And you know, she had some major surgery, abdominal surgery, and I think that was really affecting her performance last year. And she's worked really hard. And to put it in perspective, right now Brooke is playing all the way around, which I don't think in her wildest dreams ever thought she would be that type of player. And so we're having her hit out of the front row and out of the back row. But she came in our physical testing and touched 10'4". And to put that in perspective, we've only had two players higher than that, you know, in the last 9 years here, and that was Sarah Pavin and Allison McNeil, who's on the team right now. So that just shows you how – and she couldn't even touch 10 feet when she got here as a freshman. So that shows you how hard she's worked, the kind of shape that she's in, and she's having a great fall camp. We have continue to be really impressed with her.
We'll keep on a player standpoint here, Coach, with one right in our backyard, Bridget Root out of Grand Island. I know that's a kid in development. Talk about her.
You know, Bridget's one of those Joe Gantz, you know, type kids. Everybody loves her, respects her. She sends me quotes all the time for the team. She's just totally into being a team player, whatever role that she has. She has developed into a great server, so we are looking at her as being coming in and serving in a rotation. And she's worked really hard physically to be in a position where she's improved dramatically in a year as an athlete. And so she's just one of those kids, you know, a coach's kid. She knows the game. She knows what's going on. The kids really respect her. And I think those are the kind of players that make teams special. And because Bridget's there for the team, and they see that every day, and it forces everybody else to be in that mindset as well.
John Cook with us for just another minute. Two more questions, Coach. First off, well, maybe three. First off, how's practice at UCLA going?
Well, that's an interesting question. They actually go up to a place called Mammoth Mountain. It's 5 hours north of Los Angeles, and it's a ski resort. And when I was in high school, you know, when I lived in San Diego, we used to go up there and go skiing. Well, they actually go up there for boot camp, and they take their cell phones away. So I have no idea. I can't talk to my daughter.
What? This is like the Junction Boys or Remember the exactly. Titans or what's going on?
Okay. It's exactly like that, and they take away their cell phones. So, you know, those guys, and my daughter included, are attached to their phone. So that's like losing a, you know, a limb or something, you know, for those guys. So I have no idea. I haven't talked to her since they went up there Monday.
I see what happens when Daddy's phone goes on the brink. I can only imagine what happens to the poor college kids. You'll get to see UCLA, Coach. What? Give us your impressions on your non-conference schedule.
Well, I think it sets up really well. We open in the showcase against two very strong teams in the Big Ten, and then we go down to LSU for bowl night down there. You know, LSU came here last year, and they wanted us to return down there, and you know, so we're going to go down there and play LSU. We've never really been down to that part of the country. We haven't been down there in quite a while, so that is a nice return trip. And then we come back, we play Creighton squeezed in there here on a Tuesday night. So that's our, you know, our match with Creighton every year, which I think is a real big part of our schedule. And then we have our showcase, which is the final tune-up before we get to the Big 12, which is the Big 12 is going to be tough. But that tune-up is going to be Virginia with Lee Mays. He's bringing his team back here, and they're much improved. And then BYU, and then UCLA on that Sunday. And I think they've already gone over 10,000 tickets on that for the Devaneys. So it sets up as a great non-conference, and we should be well prepared for what we're going to see in the Big 12.
Okay, Coach, before we let you get out of here, I've got to ask you about the rocks. where did this idea come from, and who developed this idea?
Well, it came from Lizzie Stemke, one of our assistant coaches, and she came up with the idea. You know, one of the things we do is we kind of the coaches will go for coffee and or lunch, and we'll just kind of brainstorm ideas about, okay, what does our team need? What can we do? And she came up with this idea of giving each player three rocks, and they would write something that they wanted to work on over the summer. So it could be anything that they wanted. So like with Corey Cooper, she wanted to get stronger. Where, you know, Caleb Banworth, she wanted to, because she knows she's going to be in a leadership role, she wanted to build relationships with her teammates, work on those over the summer. So they carried these rocks around with them all summer. So everywhere they went, they were in their backpacks, their pockets, their purses, whatever. And so when you hear those rocks and you're carrying them, you know, you're constantly reminded of what you're working on. And you're working on, you know, something for Nebraska volleyball and our team. And so then when we started Sunday night, we took all those rocks, put them in a glass vase, and then we dumped sand in there because the Final Four in Tampa, it's in Tampa, Florida. So the sand is kind of symbolic of this is what we're working on, and if we do this, we have a chance to get to the Final Four in Tampa. And so that'll be a constant reminder for them, and they loved it. And I would, you know, I love sharing that idea because I think you could apply that to so many teams and businesses and people that want to improve on certain things. You know, you carry those rocks around, you're constantly reminded.
Anybody lose one?
No.
See, I would have been the dope that shows up with two damn. Where's your third rock, Tony? I don't know. I just dropped it, Coach.
You'd have been 20th on the 19-player roster.
Yeah.
Coach, thanks for the extended visit this morning. We look forward to chatting with you as the season moves along here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and best of luck.
Okay, say hi to everybody out there in western Nebraska. And, you know, one of the things that a guy asked me yesterday, you know, what is really the most important thing in all this? And we're trying to have a team and a program that the whole Husker Nation can be proud of, no matter where you live in Nebraska. And so I think this team is going to be a lot of fun, and people are really going to get connected to it. So just say hi to everybody, and thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Take care.
Okay, bye.
From Scotts Bluff to Omaha, that roster is filled with great Nebraska talents. I mean, you just take a look at Jordan Wilberger. We didn't have time to talk about her, the way she came in and just amazingly helped this team make the Final Four last year. And they're ranked third. I think the only thing that Nebraska is missing is last year when they were able to get things started at the beginning of the year and play those top teams, they just they got off to such a great start and shocked the world in some of the teams that they played that this year they don't do that. UCLA ranked 10th is the most powerful preseason top team they play. They won't play anybody in the top five. According to Volleyball Magazine, Penn State, of course, Texas in the conference, but we're talking non-conference. Washington, Stanford, Hawaii, somebody like that. We need to take a break. We'll be back with more. Your thoughts on John Cook and the volleyball season, you can shoot them off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to talk a little high school football with Holdridge's Jason Hale next.
It was just last week during our programming meeting that the boss made this comment about the Doug and Daddy show.
We have in effect put all our rotten eggs in one basket. And we intend to watch this basket carefully.
These rotten eggs will be right back on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hey, you smell smoke?
Yeah, it's my meat. Schroeder Smoked Foods.
It smells pretty good.
It is good.
Can I have a bite?
No.
Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Pulled pork, smoked beef, and pork loin. Stop into Schroeder Smoked Foods and dine on delicious barbecue. Or have Schroeder Smoked Foods cater your event. Pick it up. Or have us deliver mouth-watering barbecue to your special event. Online at schroedersmokedfoods.com. On First Street, behind the First State Bank in Shelton. Schroeder's Smoked Foods. Where the fire never goes out.
Hi, I'm a mudflap from JTM Products. I guess I shouldn't be complaining about my job. It's my job to get... It's a dirty job, but at least JTM Products has the knowledge and know-how to make me look pretty. Oh, boy!
Have JTM Products customize your mudflaps. All sizes, cars, trucks, semis, and minivans. A great gift for car buffs. JTM Products can even do custom design and sizes of mudflaps, too. Always affordable prices. Call JTM Products today. 308-338-FLAP. Online at jtmproducts.com.
BioGuard, the products to keep your pool water soft and crystal clean. Hi, this is Doug Detterding reminding you nothing is better than BioGuard water treatment to kill bacteria and algae and to protect against scale corrosion and staining. We are the BioGuard water professionals with both the product knowledge and experience. We're Detterding Swimming Pool Headquarters, 2nd Avenue in Kearney and just south of Whiskey Creek in Grand Island.
Choose better things at Detterding's. It's a quality of life.
Ah, summertime. Nothing like putting on the pads in 90-degree heat and sweating your way through training camp. It's the dawn of another football season. And Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation unveils end-to-end coverage of man's second favorite contact sport, reports from training camp. So you get all the dirt on who's rising up and who's washing out from the station that takes football just as seriously as you do. ESPN Radio Superstation 1460. And 1550 AM.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fawner Park.
Best bet for weekend fun and food. Fawner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Watch and wager on nationwide thoroughbred racing 1140 AM to 1030 PM daily. 20 tracks including Saratoga, Del Mar, and Columbus. Plus, enjoy keynotes, snacks, full dining and bar, and the out-of-this-world prime rib weekend special. Relax in cool comfort at Fawner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge, Grand Island.
Partly to mostly sunny skies will continue through the day today with a slight chance for a storm developing with high temperatures around 94. South winds will also stay from 10 to 20 miles per hour. There's a slight chance for a storm tonight with lows around 67. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 79.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Doug and Daddy Show coming up. Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com and Jason Hale, head football coach at Holdridge, is going to join us in just a few minutes as well. Update on the leaderboard at the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods got off to an okay start right now at 3 under par. You've got Robert Allenby and Dustin Johnson through 11. Alvaro Quiros, who I think sounds a lot like Jose Cuervo, but Alvaro Quiros is 3 under, as is Michael Bradley. Paul Guidos, who bogeyed the first hole today, is at 2 under, so he's got things going as well. Camilo Villegas and Rich Beam and Padraig Harrington and Tiger Woods all at 2 under par. So Harrington, Beam, and Woods in the same group are all at 2 under. And we are ready to continue our high school football preview with the head coach of the Holdridge Dusters. Jason Hale joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Well, it's going good. Thanks for holding there. I appreciate that.
No problem.
How's practice so far?
Practice has been good. We've had a good start to the week. I got them in pads yesterday, and I saw a lot of good things. So, like most people across the state, everybody's excited right now, and we think things are going pretty good.
Jason, everybody thinks that Holdridge is down this year. You lost a bunch of seniors, but this is kind of one of those junior classes you and I think the town of Holdridge has been waiting to get through this system.
Yeah, it's a good group, you know. And I think not just that class. We've got a couple other classes that we think are going to be pretty darn good down the road. But when you have as small a senior class as we have this year, and you do graduate the kids we graduated last year, maybe that is the expectation out there. We think we're going to be pretty good, but only time will tell. You know, we think if we can get through our non-district play and get some experience to some kids and avoid some injuries, come district play, we could be a team that challenges. But you know, right now we're just pretty young, and we'll have to see how it goes.
Jason Hale, head football coach at Holdridge, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You're one of many programs that's going to have to plug in a new quarterback. Have you made a decision on that yet?
Well, yeah, for the most part. You know, we like to keep the competition going. But, we've been pretty lucky over the years. We've been able to have kids step in and start for two or three years. And we think we have a kid this year in Robbie Allman that is going to be pretty special before it's all said and done. And he's looked really well fall camp. We knew coming in last year that he could help us, and he ended up helping us on the defensive side and played a little bit on offense. But we were able to get through the year without having to throw him in there, and we think he's ready to go now. And we'll see what happens. But he throws the ball well. He runs the ball well. I think it kind of takes us back to maybe the years when we had the Goodwin kid here, where we could run and throw from the quarterback position. So we'll see what happens, but we're pretty excited.
You know, more of a tall, lanky kid, isn't he? I do you expect more throwing?
Well, he's a 6 foot, 6'1" kid that runs pretty good. So we think we got a lot of things in our toolbox for the quarterback in our run game. But you know, he throws the ball as well as anybody we've had here, and I probably put him up against a lot of people around the state. He's a heady kid, throws the ball well, understands our offense, and lives and breathes football. So we'll see how it goes. But like I said, he's looked well so far in practice, and we think he's going to do a great job for us.
Jason, I know a lot of people around Holdridge have been talking about Lincoln Pearson, a senior for you, who's going to play both sides of the ball and see a lot of action for you.
Yeah, Lincoln is a kid who's already started for 2 years on the defensive side, very athletic. He's one of those four-sport athletes that can do a lot of things. And, you know, through the course of his 4 years here, he's played some quarterback, some receiver, some running back on the offensive side. And, you know, we've kind of asked him to focus on the tailback spot. And you know, he'll be a huge part of our passing game as well. But it's kind of a new role for him, but he's looked really well up to this point. And as always, he's been a mainstay on our defense and is doing really well. So Lincoln's going to have a great year.
Holdridge coach Jason Hale is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, previewing the Dusters' upcoming season. Class B is a different animal, coach. You play two-thirds of your schedule before the games that count, I guess. They all count, but your district games, you only have three of them. Two-thirds of your season is put in by the time you get there, where everybody else is playing five or six district games in all the other classes. What's that like? Is there a different philosophy as you prepare? I mean, you know you want to win each week, but if you win the district, you go to state.
Well, I think it's, you know, there's different ways to look at it. Prior to last year, you know, if you were in the top two, you were a lock to qualify, and that was kind of our position for several years there. You know, we were positioned right behind McCook, and last year when they changed it, you know, the only guarantee you have is to win your district. So it puts a little more emphasis on those first 6 weeks, and we had a fantastic first month and a half of the season last year. And, you know, we're 5-1 going into districts, and should have been 6-0. We kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit week one, but we had our opportunities, and we felt really good going into district play. And we found out how good our district was, and I think everybody else did last year with all four of our teams qualifying. And you know, a lot of that has to do with how well you do in the preseason part of it for wild card points. But we sustained a few injuries. Like I talked about earlier, we can't have those kind of things with our depth and limited numbers and how experienced we are. So you know, if we can get to that point of the season and be healthy and the experience we'll have gained, I think we have a chance to make a little bit of noise. But you know, there's a lot of factors that play out, and you know, we're just going to try to see if we can get better these first couple weeks of preseason and see how we get going in the non-district play. But it is a different type of deal, different than any of us are used to, and it's exciting. It puts a lot of emphasis on those three district games, but it also has put a lot more emphasis on the non-district games. So, like I said, teams really benefited in our district from that last year.
Jason, I want to single out a couple other kids. I know Scott's a friend of Doug and I's. His boys, the Shoneman boys, involved in a bad car wreck. How are they coming along, and will they see much action?
Well, Alex is 100% and is doing great. He's part of that junior class. We expect him to play on both sides of the ball, a ton of football, because of some things that transpired in that accident that you mentioned. Jared's no longer playing football. Jared, I think, is going to be a tremendous cross country runner. I told him and his family both that no matter what he did or what he was going to be allowed to do, he would be successful at it. And I'm excited for his opportunity there. Obviously, we're not excited to not have him, but he's going to do fantastic. Both those kids ran track for me in the spring and had a great year. And, you know, it's just those are kids that work really hard and will be successful at whatever they do.
Well, Jason, we'll let you get back to preparing for the next practice, and hopefully some of those kids, I know it's not the biggest offensive and defensive lines, so I know you're going to be working on some technique with those kids and getting ready for Gehring, a little payback on the season opener on the 28th. We wish you guys the best of luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Jason Hale, head football coach at Holdridge, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. They seem to have a lot of the skill guys. They're going to need some help.
Well, they'll be all right. I think they do things. You know, how close was Holdridge? You talk about those McCook games. They were right there about three times. And one of those deals, you couldn't get over that. I think that gets a different taste in your mouth and maybe makes some of these kids hungrier that grew up watching those games.
Well, there's always some good rivalries. And, again, that district is with Lexington and McCook and Ogallala and themselves. There's not an easy team. All of those, I think, are supposed to be 500, above 500 Class B teams. It's supposed to be a very tough district in Class B, so we'll see how that all pans out. More high school football talk tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. We are looking at Jeff Tomlin from Grand Island to be joining us for an appearance to talk about the Islanders, and then everybody is into camp next week. We've got a lot more coming up here on the Doug and Daddy Show, including Joe DeMail, fantasyplayersedge.com, and some other sports to talk about. So stay with us. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two gentlemen who are known for their razor-sharp wit, insightful commentaries, probing interview techniques, and charm. These broadcasting mega men will be back right after this. All right, you two. I said what you wanted. Now, where's my money?
StubHub! Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. Listen up, NFL fans. Training camp's underway. The season's around the corner. Your tailgate's ready to party. All you need, a ticket. You want selection? StubHub.com. Home games, road games, sold-out games, even playoffs. Best of all, StubHub lets you choose the game and the seats you want. That's right. See the game you want to see. Sit where you want to sit. You can sell tickets on StubHub, too. Listing's free. As always, StubHub backs everything with Fan Protect Guarantee. That's StubHub.com or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
Where do you find the best person to change your oil? Try the rearview mirror. That's right, you. And the pros at Advance Auto Parts can show you how easy it is and help you save money with offers like 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for only $14.99. See store for details. One oil change is all it takes to discover nobody is more qualified to get the job done right than you. Then do what's right for the environment and bring back your old oil. They'll recycle it. Advance Auto Parts. We'll help you keep the wheels turning.
For quality cleaning and competitive prices, call on Sears Carpet and Upholstery Care.
Shop SearsClean.com. That's SearsClean.com for internet specials. Click on each service to view special offers. You can even get an estimate and request an appointment online.
Cleaning you can trust. Sears Carpet and Upholstery Care. Call toll-free 1-866-660-5639. Online at searsclean.com.
Dear, we're having another baby.
The changing circumstances of life often change your needs in a home. RE/MAX executives of Kearney every day prove that experience counts, having connected thousands of families with new homes. Log on to KearneyRE/MAX.com to begin your next move. Or call Rocky, Deb, Heath, Lori, or Todd.
Buy a home and get $8,000 back from the federal government. Call RE/MAX executives of Kearney for details.
At 308-236-SOLD.
Double dip, double down, double the fun, all good doubles. But nothing beats double the savings at Kearney Yamaha. Right now, cash in on double savings at Kearney Yamaha when you buy a new Yamaha ATV or motorcycle. That's right, double savings. Now through the end of the month, Kearney Yamaha is having a double rebate sale. For example, buy a new Yamaha Grizzly and the guys at Kearney Yamaha will double the $700 rebate to $1,400. Buy a Yamaha Star motorcycle and the $1,000 rebate magically doubles to $2,000.
This is Terry Lobig from Kearney Yamaha, and it's our annual double rebate sale. The perfect time to save tons of money and get the Yamaha ATV or motorcycle of your dreams. There's never been a better time to get a new machine from Kearney Yamaha.
So whether you're looking for fun or a fuel-saving motorcycle, you can save up to $2,000. And farmers, if your ATV has seen better days, now is the time to upgrade and save big. Double savings now through August 30th at Kearney Yamaha, just south of I-80.
Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge is doing their part to stimulate the economy. Every Saturday from now until further notice, Sportsman's is offering their famous Black Angus Nebraskaland 8-ounce sirloin tip steak dinner for a reduced price of $8.85. That includes a potato and a country fresh salad bar. Dinner starts at 5 o'clock, so head to sunny downtown Gibbon and tempt your taste buds and stimulate your wallet, all at Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. What?
Good.
Why are you so fired up?
Well, because I learned last night about 1:30 in the morning, I'm getting a little sippy of water, that the Black Eyed Peas and Tim McGraw are going to kick off the NFL season. Always, always a fabulous night to get things going.
Obviously, we'll have some folks on from Pro Football Weekly to preview the NFL season here before it gets going after Labor Day. A little later start, which is good, I think. Which is good. A lot of things will have happened between now and then. High school football have games underway for some, two games. For some, college football will have a couple of games under their belt by then as well. And it's all after Labor Day, and that's all good. I like that. Get that football started after Labor Day. That way we can fully concentrate on the pros just for you.
I like that. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right.
What do you think? Tim McGraw, Black IP, is that marquee names, Derek? Is that big?
Maybe Nelly will pop by.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Tim McGraw's big, too.
He said, I went skydiving.
Oh, this is Tim McGraw.
You know this song.
Rocky Mountain climbing.
Okay.
I went 2.7 seconds.
He's a pretty good lineup. Black guy
named Fu Manchu.
They didn't get you
two.
Of course, you. You would have had Kid Rock.
I would have had Kid Rock, yes. Kid Rock and Neil Diamond. Those have been my two choices, but...
Speaking of Kid Rock, I never in our Vegas trips, Elton John was never there at Caesars, the time with his red piano tour that he had for whatever appearances, 5 years or however long it was. But, you know, you can YouTube a lot of things. I never noticed or didn't know, and it's pretty cool, that, you know, now it's all a stage show, all these background videos, all these light shows, and so during the whole thing... you know, got to see it when Elton and Billy Joel were in Omaha. They didn't play this particular one, but to the bitch's back, Pam Anderson does a pole dance in the video the whole time.
Very nice.
That would have been worth the price of admission. I just thought, you know, you might want to
appreciate
YouTube that. You might want to YouTube that.
I'll do that.
You might. You might. It's not the greatest thing ever, but it's worth YouTubing, okay?
But it's close.
That's all I'm saying. You might want to YouTube that, maybe.
I will. I can promise you.
Okay. Hey, Sidney Ponson, another winner. He's been released by the Royals. And Royals baseball is coming up next here on ESPN Radio. 12:10 first pitch. We'll have it following the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why did we know that about Sidney Ponson, that he was no good to start? Why?
I don't understand. Dayton Moore making $1 billion, you $1.50, and you knew that.
Would somebody from their organization call me? Farnsworth, no. You clear it through Daddy first. That's the new rule for the Kansas City Royals.
I thought we were okay last night. Our buddy Willie Bloomquist hit the solo home run. They're up 1-0, and that was the end of it. 7-1 loss.
Hey, giving Gordon days off after night games. Well, hate to rush him out there for his 217 that he's going to hit the rest of the year.
A Nebraska football player has begun pretrial diversion instead of going to court on a charge of minor in possession. Tim Marlowe, scheduled to be in court today, ticketed by police in July. He's 20. Marlowe is a redshirt freshman wide receiver for the Huskers out of Ohio.
It's disappointing. Very disappointing.
And one other note, a guest that we had recently on the Doug and Daddy Show, Brandon Crick, is one of 12 golfers from the Big 12 Conference that will be in the U.S. Amateur August 24th through the 30th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The U.S. Amateur Championship will be at the Par 72 Old Course at Southern Hills, the site of 14 major championships, and most recently hosted the 2007 PGA Championship. And, all U.S. amateurs participate in 36 holes of stroke play. The top 64 advance to the match play portion, and Brandon Crick is there. And Andrew Wyatt, also of Nebraska, is an alternate, as is John Hurley. Hurley didn't make it. He's an alternate. Isn't that crazy?
Does it say how many total people are vying for those 64 spots?
Cabillion.
No, a lot.
It's usually like 154.
Okay.
Right in that range. Got a couple of other notes, but Joe DeMeo is going to join us in a moment, so let's take a break. We'll come back and talk some fantasy football and baseball. If you got a question for Joe, shoot it off to the Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Danny at ESPNSuperstation.com. Back after this.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Danny Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Golic, do you notice anything different about me?
Did you part your hair in a different way or spend more time in the makeup chair?
No and no. I'm wearing the new Hanes Lay Flat Collar undershirt. Notice how the Lay Flat Collar isn't distracting from my periwinkle blue Oxford shirt?
Your peri what? I'm not one to notice those things, but I do notice comfort. My new Hanes undershirts are soft and fit great and have become a staple in the Golic household.
We don't agree on much, but we do agree that Hanes has perfected comfort and fit with the new Hanes Lay Flat Collar undershirts. Look for Hanes undershirts in stores now.
Running a business is hard work. Lowe's recognizes this and wants to say thank you with some great product offers. Come in now and get 15% off DeWalt tools and accessories, plus 20% off Valspar 2000 interior paint. And open an account today and ask for 10% off your first purchase on your new Lowe's business credit account. Lowe's, let's build something together. Maximum discount of $500 on credit offer. Some restrictions apply. See store associate for application and required coupon. Offers valid 8-1209 to 8-1709. Valid in U.S. only. Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high efficiency Trane model at Fidelki Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather. Brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on 25th Street in Kearney. For a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Partly to mostly sunny skies will continue through the day today with a slight chance for a storm developing with high temperatures around 94. South winds will also stay from 10 to 20 miles per hour. There's a slight chance for a storm tonight with lows around 67. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 79.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Well, let's go to the Dead Popper inbox. What do you got for us, Daddy?
It says the other day you two were saying how it's too bad you weren't able to play the peanut butter jelly song. You could play it when the Yankees win and hear it almost every damn day.
Yeah, that's see, there you go. Even the Yankees want peanut butter jelly time. That's what they want. That's what they want. A lot that we have discussed today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Cody Spano out with an ACL tear. Backup Nebraska quarterback out for the year. We talked with John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach. We talked high school football with Jason Hale from Holdridge. We've talked about the PGA and what's going on there as the coverage is underway.
You think Patrick Witt's wondering, what the hell was I doing?
No, he's not. Backup is still a backup. No, Patrick Witt's not. I think that was just a strange deal with Patrick Witt. He's going to go outside of football. Joe Gann's going to work for the Husker Radio Network. Who do you think is going to get a bigger paycheck, Gann's or Witt?
Well, Witt is.
Okay, so there you go. Hey, folks, we're going to move Ryer Greer to our program tomorrow. We've just been jam-packed today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Big 12 previews will continue next week. Austin Arnaud from Iowa State is going to join us. Dave Brown from ESPN is going to join us tomorrow. Emily Jones from Fox Sports Net is going to join us on the show. So we'll have Emily. And interesting, I think this is some. She hosts Big 12 Showcase, which you see, very attractive, very pretty gal. Just recently got married. We've had a chance to chat with her the last few times at Big 12 Media Days. Very pleasant person. But you know, two, three weeks ago when we were in Dallas, this was the whole Aaron Andrews time. And she actually got right into that. And
wasn't afraid.
No, and kind of takes it to the next level a little bit. And so you might be interested to hear her point and her view on the Aaron Andrews video voyeur type of thing that somebody illegally taped.
So. Yeah, I think you would really like to hear that. Expected to be joined by Joe DeMeo, Fantasy Players Edge.
But again, our Big 12 previews are brought to you in part by Dynagrow Seed. They now have SmartStax corn hybrids in their starting lineup. SmartStax, the ag industry's most advanced BT and herbicide offering available in corn today. Dynagrow offers SmartStax, combining 8 corn traits to provide farmers the absolute broadest spectrum of above and below ground protection available against insects and weeds versus any product in the market today. So contact your local Dynagrow representative. You'll find out more about the Dynagrow SmartStax hybrids just announced and registered for sale in 2010. And they're now available to order today from your Dynagrow dealer. Dynagrow, growing in your field. And as we said, Ryer Greer and Emily Jones both going to join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug, something you got a little bit more fired up than I do. But last night during the Cubs game, when someone in the front row of the outfield gets showered with somebody basically goes back to catch a fly ball in the middle of the warning track, and as he's catching that fly ball, whoosh, here comes the cup, the beer, everything basically right at the same time. How he caught the ball, you know, it's a pretty good testament of concentration out there in the outfield, because he could have very easily dropped that ball, and then it would have been, I think it would have been an easy call to make. But you got fired up about it. You're also fired up about Dante Stallworth and being removed for the year. So two things have got you hot and bothered in the last 12 hours.
Well, that Cubs fan is an idiot, an absolute idiot, and should never, ever be allowed back in Wrigley Field ever, ever again. You cannot do that. You just can't do that. You cannot be that big of a moron to do that. That's insane. That is absolutely insane. And Dante Stallworth, you got to get a little uniform here across the board about who's doing what, folks. We've got an email here from a Tory who says, could you play Go Cubs Go or something to get us fired up? Well, here you go.
God, you suck. Get out of here.
There you go. All right. How's that for you? Let's move on. You know, I don't know what you do with these idiots, but it's time for Joe DeMeo, who knows all that is about fantasy baseball and fantasy football. I don't know. Maybe the guy's got a good enough arm to maybe the Royals ought to pick him up. Joe, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's everything? Apologize for being a little late. My bad.
Well, that's okay. We know that you're keeping everything up to date on fantasyplayersedge.com. What about that idiot in the Cubs game yesterday? If fans over the edge throwing beer at players, then you wonder why hockey people and basketball people go into the stands. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I didn't, but I heard about it. And, you know, guys, there's no place for that. I don't get it. I don't get where that behavior, has any relevance to anything that any of us do for a living or enjoy as a sideline. It just makes no sense to me.
Now, the Royals have gotten rid of Sidney Ponson. Does that affect your Major League Fantasy team?
Yeah, in a wonderful way. Sidney Ponson was fantasy relevant in about 1986, I think. And, if anybody was carrying Sidney Ponson on their roster for whatever reason, they should call in and let you know.
So we can make fun of them immediately.
Yes, exactly. Joe, hold them up to public mockery.
Joe, when the waiver wire, I guess the trade line comes and goes, but now the waiver wire, people clearing waivers, is there anything to watch? How long does it take to clear waivers? And do people have sit out some games, and does that affect your fantasy team in certain ways?
Well, no, I mean, from the point of view of fantasy, you only can hope like an Aaron Harang gets traded to a contender. If you've been, enduring Harang's inconsistent performances all season, you would enjoy if the Dodgers reach out and pick him up, or one of the other contending teams, the Cardinals perhaps, or even an American League team that's in the thick of it, because you're gonna have a rejuvenated pitcher coming to a team that needs wins and. That could definitely bolster your fantasy prospects if you have marginal players like that who have essentially either performed evenly or underachieved the entire season. So fantasy owners can hope for that. They got a taste of it with Cliff Lee and Matt Holliday, and to a certain extent Victor Martinez, who's been great all year. But Lee now has been sensational for the Phillies, and Holiday is reborn in the middle of that lineup that features Pujols and Ludwig. So fantasy owners can only hope that their marginal guys who have cleared waivers, such as Aaron Harang, do actually get sent around September 1st when the rosters are expanded to contending teams.
Joe DiMaio joins us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. I want to get into football. My first draft is this weekend. A lot of folks' first draft is this weekend. I've got an email waiting here for you. Wants to know, Joe, will LaDainian Tomlinson return to the fantasy form of years past? He's getting a lot of pub this week.
All right. The way you have to look at LaDainian Tomlinson is he's still a great running back in a great offense. He's a feature back in a great offense. He gets goal line touches. There is some Sproles overhang, but every back in America has overhang. Adrian Peterson has Chester Taylor. Every solid running back in this league has overhang and is not going to get all 30 touches on the ground. Now, with that said, if you have the sixth or seventh pick in the draft and Tomlinson drops to you, you have to be crazy not to scoop him up and start him as your RB1. Certainly, if you have the top three picks in the draft, you've got to look in maybe a different direction. You'd have to look certainly at Adrian Peterson, Steven Jackson, the kid in Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew, guys like that who are in their prime right now and are setting up to have big seasons. But if you had the fifth or sixth running back or seventh running back and he's still sitting there, grab him now, and you'll be pleasantly surprised because he's going to have a nice season. He's going to he'll exceed 1,400 yards and he'll have. Double-digit touchdowns. No worries there.
Well, if Overhang makes a great running back, Daddy's still got some time left on him. I'll tell you what. Joe, we had the same reaction. Steven Jackson, LaDainian Tomlinson both on the board. Jackson playing for a 2-14 Rams team. Tomlinson playing for a team that should win the West and go into the playoffs. You still say take Steven Jackson over Tomlinson?
Yeah, I would, and there's a reason for that. He's playing in a new system right now. He's playing in a kind of an expanded offensive system under Steve Spagnuolo. Look for the Rams to be an improved team this year, especially when you take a look at their receiving core. Their top guy, Donnie Avery, went down. Laurent Robinson and Keenan Burton are a far cry from Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. Look for Steven Jackson to go back to getting 60 to 80 balls this year out of the backfield, not to mention his customary 22 to 25 touches and all the goal line work. He's going to be a workhorse in that offense. And I think they're going to utilize him like they did a couple of seasons ago. You probably remember when Tomlinson nearly had 100 catches. He had that tremendous year where he was used out of the backfield as much as he was used on running plays. Look for Steven Jackson to get a very similar workload this year. A lot of flare passes out of the backfield when Bulger's two receivers are blanketed because these are not the kind of receivers that can get separation. So I look for Jackson to have a surprisingly big year, both in receptions and on the ground.
Joe, I want you to throw the tight ends in with the wide receivers. How far down? I'd say Jason Witten at Gates. Pick who you want, Tony Gonzalez. Those tight ends, how far down on the wide receiver list until you take one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think wide receiver is very, very deep this year. You can go all the way down to Lavernius Coles, for heaven's sakes, to get a guy who's going to get enough balls to be effective as a WR2, WR3. Here's the way I look at tight ends. Once you get past Cooley, who will probably be the fifth off the board, Clark before him, and the three you just mentioned,
okay,
really it kind of gets pretty even at that point. So whether you grab Greg Olsen, who's the fashionable tight end right now, or you pick up Owen Daniels at number 10, you're still in the same space. So really you want to gauge it based on who's coming off the board and when they're coming off the board. If there's a run on tight ends and you're in this eighth round, you certainly don't want to be down to Mercedes Lewis. You want to get one of the top 10 or 12 tight ends that are available. But if wide receivers are still flying off the board, use your good judgment and pick up a TE in round 9 or 10 and fill out your wide receiving core. It's got to be based on what's happening in front of you.
Joe DiMaio joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show for another minute from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Okay, I'm going into the draft this weekend, and we're 3 weeks away from any meaningful football. What about guys that are currently injured? Who do you avoid right now that is not going to be back in time, whether it's injury, suspension? Is there a couple of guys right now you need to avoid that maybe many publications, when they came out back in April, say, hey, this is a top selection?
Yes. Marshawn Lynch, of course, has a 3-game suspension, and I would only reach for him somewhere in round 8 or 9 if he's still sitting there, which I doubt. Let somebody else reach for him, because between that and a bye week, you've just lost a quarter of the season, and that's a lot to give away with a running back or anybody else for that matter. You talk about injuries, guys like Dallas Clark, who's sitting out this week with a concussion. I don't like when a guy begins the year with a concussion, even a slight concussion. I would avoid him. He's going to go high in tight ends. Let somebody else reach for him. My projection is he misses 6 games this year, if not more. Football is a violent sport. You're going to get hit in the head early and often, and if he's already beginning with a concussion, you should shy away from that type of thing. More than just injuries, avoid running back situations like the Baltimore Ravens, where you got Ray Rice, LaRon McClain, and Willis McGahee, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Derek Ward, Ernest Graham, Cadillac Williams, the New England Patriots, who will field 27 running backs, even though I like Freddie Taylor late in the draft. Try to avoid those situations where there's not clarity, where you know that a guy's going to get at least 18 to 22 touches. He's still going to be in a tie. Like D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, you still grab D'Angelo Williams. He's still going to get 18 to 22 touches no matter what. But avoid those monstrosity running back situations that exist in Baltimore, New England, and Tampa, and then you got those backs like Cedric Benson, who had a fairly decent finish last year. If he's part of your bench strength, that's not bad. But if he's your number two running back, I'd be concerned. Same thing with Thomas Jones, I'd be concerned.
Joe, what do you say to people that think they have to have their draft this week or next week when we don't even know who's on the rosters yet? I mean, would you please go out of your way and ridicule these people?
Yeah, let me go out and insult every one of them publicly and privately.
I appreciate that.
All kidding aside, it's best to conduct your drafts after the third game of the third preseason game.
Thank you.
Just because of the injuries that can occur and the fact that you want to make sure that at least the top guys that you're drafting are going to be available. I think it cheapens the league if you lose your first-round draft pick before the season ever starts.
Well, these are cheap leagues anyway. For the, they just don't understand.
Hey, we're overtime. Joe, I'm gonna have you assess my at least a little bit of the draft next week on the show. We look forward to it. Hey, have a great weekend, and I hope all your advice helps me out this weekend.
Well, Doug, Daddy, Bill, I always look forward to chatting with you guys. Go to the website, grab the preliminary rankings, use that as at least a guide. Check every day before the draft. Make sure you're not drafting an injured guy. Just go to the site early and often before you draft, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, Joe, thanks. FantasyPlayersEdge.com, that's the place to go. Joe DiMeo joins us every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Some folks have got to 4-under at the PGA Championship. Luke fires in on the Cubs incident. He says, Doug and Daddy, that Cubs fan was an idiot. But if you watch the replay very closely, the wrong guy got kicked out of the game. It was actually a kid in a white shirt about four people to the left of the kid that got kicked out that threw the beer. It's the kid that, when the security first comes in, is pointing at himself like, what, me? And then the security guard walks right past him and picks out the wrong kid. Watch the replay very closely, and you can see the cup coming in from the left. The kid's an idiot. Luke and Carney.
Thanks for the email, Luke. Shoot us an email anytime, Doug and Daddy, ESPNSuperstation.com.
Tiger Woods has it to 3-under through 11. He's one shot off the lead. Michael Bradley, Alvaro Quiros, and Robert Allenby are all at 4-under par. We want to thank Jason Hale, Holdridge football coach, John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach, and Joe DiMeo for joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, Emily Jones from Fox Sports, Jeff Tomlin, Grand Island football coach, and Ryer Greer, Colorado tight end.
Hey, we'll see you 23 hours from now. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 in Kearney, 1550. Our friends in Hastings, see you then.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.